Blog Talk Radio.
Alternative facts.
The following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. At 12.07 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, numerous unidentified objects of unknown intent and unknown origin were detected at high altitudes over multiple locations of Earth's outer space by the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, and these objects are presumed to be some form of controlled aircraft. It is not known if more of these aircraft will arrive or if they will attempt entering Earth's atmosphere. United States citizens are encouraged to monitor local media outlets, as more updates will follow as information becomes available. The following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. Attacks by the undead have been reported in several states across the country. The dead are rising from their graves and are attacking the human race. At this time, it is expected that more attacks of this nature will occur in several other states in the next few hours. The intent behind the attack is unknown at this time. He has been observed that a bipolar exchange of fluids is a method of transmission. This is an extremely dangerous situation if they crave the taste of human flesh. It is not known whether this event will last for hours, days, or even longer. Stay calm, as authorities have been dispatched to deal with these creatures. An all-clear siren will be sounded when this situation is under control.
Your host, Rodney the Viking Shortridge, wants to give a big old shout out to the Facebook paranormal groups that allow us to post our shows on their pages and helping us to get the word out about all of our guests. If anyone would like to speak to Black Diamond Paranormal Society, BDPS, to discuss your paranormal questions or issues, go to our website at blackdiamondps.org or email blackdiamondps@yahoo.com. As always, our services are free.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You can listen in by calling 516-387-1922, or you can go to the Vibe Radio Network website at blogtalkradio.com/Vibe Radio Network. For deep within the heart of the Appalachian Mountains, I'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for listening to Within the Chaos. My name is Rodney Shortridge, and I'll be your host tonight. First off, I'd like to give a shout-out to my cousins up in Ohio. Jennifer and Joe Shortridge of 222 Paranormal. If you get a chance, check out their talk show. You can find them on Facebook under 222 Paranormal. Well, I hope everybody's doing good tonight. We just had another big storm. We keep having these big storms, and it's like we went from winter to summer. It's strange. Our weather down here is crazy. But tonight our special guest is the doctor of the paranormal world, the Haunted MD, Dr. Donald Menar. And first off, I want to talk about yesterday in America, we met a grim milestone. We crossed 100,000 deaths because of the COVID-19. And that's going to be our topic tonight. I know Doc, he does a lot of great work in the paranormal world, and but there is just a lot of people in our area, it seems like, they're just not getting it, that this virus is deadly, and it's killing a lot of people, a lot. And I'm afraid there's going to be a whole lot more pass away before this even calms down. But he's going to try to help break it down. I mean, I've got a lot of great questions from people that sent in, family, friends. I mean, everybody's just biting at the bits on this. But there's one more thing I want to talk about real quick is the murder of George Floyd by the white cop in Minneapolis. I mean, I know I started up a shit storm when I posted up Black Lives Matter. But people, you got to understand. When I say that, when I post something like that, I know all lives matter. But when Black people are being killed by white cops all the time, whether they're breaking in their house and shooting them, or shooting them because they're jogging, sticking their knee in their neck, and actually taking a life from them, right in front of everybody. I'm sorry, but this shit's got to stop. I mean, it's got to stop. This racist undertow and some that's not even an undertow. I mean, I had more people race hell me. They're white people because I posted that up. And it showed your true nature. Some of you deleted me. Some will probably delete me even more. But that's how I feel. And the injustice of the Black community, the Native American community, the Spanish American community. I mean, these people are being treated like shit by the white people, and it's got to stop. That's enough for that. But I just wanted to get my two cents in with that. But I didn't mean to start this off like this, Doc. I apologize. Let me see if I can get him all. It's my honor to introduce Dr. Menar. Thank you, Doc, for coming on the show. And I'm sorry, I got a little up. The past few days, I've been battling a bunch of people on foot, and I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Hey, Rodney. Yeah, no. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great, bud.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, man. It's tough times as it is with this whole COVID and everything. And then, you know, then have something like that happen and with the Minnesota thing. And it's sad because if it would have been a white man doing the same crime, I don't think he would have ended up on the ground with a knee in his neck. I mean, it's crazy times we're going through with, you know, how, you know, I think, as you mentioned, you know, the people of color, it's just like seem to be more disrespected than we have been. And so it seems like certain groups of folks feel emboldened to kind of just, you know, go after people of color, even, you know, in this situation in Minnesota, but also just with this whole COVID thing, you know, people attacking Asian Americans and saying, you know, terrible things because of the virus started in China, and, you know, and it's just crazy. I agree with you, man. It's frustrating. You kind of feel like, what's going on with our world? And, you know, people are people no matter what color your skin is. And so.
Especially here in America, where we're a melting pot of so many different peoples from all over the world. And, you know, there's people here I know in my own community that gave me so much grief. And, that you know, they were propping it up. You know, he put a picture up showing that the military was holding up America. Well, no, that's true. But let's go back a little further. You know, the black slaves are the ones who helped build this country for free.
Right.
You know, they were beat and tormented and everything and chained to build our country. So, nah, it wasn't the military. It was the black man. And they don't read history and they don't know it. And they don't care to know it.
Right. No, I hear you too. And it's tough on Facebook. I've kind of gone through some things too with, like, you know, friends and, you know, people I still think of as friends, but just there's such wild swing in, like, opinions, and it creates, like, tension. It's like, you know, I thought I knew you, or maybe you thought you knew me, but it's like some of these really polarizing things, especially politically. I don't want to get into politics necessarily, but, you know, it's tough because it's like, I catch a lot of flack on Facebook too. And sometimes, like, I only take so much, Rodney. I'm like, you know, especially with this COVID stuff and all these conspiracy theories, I'm like, you know, I see this stuff and some of the stuff that gets posted, it's so blatantly wrong and it's so potentially harmful to people who don't know better that, and it encourages this. It keeps fueling these fires of people's anxiety and making, you know, maybe making people think there's some big, you know, plot and that it's all, you know, everybody's against them. The doctor's against them. I tell you what, I've never felt threatened as a doctor, but, you know, recently I felt uneasy being a healthcare provider with some of the stuff that's on Facebook about, oh, the doctors are billing this and the doctors are doing this. We're helping. We're not doing anything wrong. And all these things are being put on Facebook about the hospitals are trying to make money and doctors are trying to make money. That's not true. You know what I mean? But these people get it. They're buying this stuff. And then, you know, I try to, so I, you know, I see it on Facebook and I try not to get, I try not to respond to it, but you can only take so much. You know, and you start responding, and right, you end up losing friends, and people get pissed. Sorry, man. Go ahead.
I don't give a shit if they do get pissed at me, because, you know, and they do believe, or, you know, unfriendly. I'm glad that they do that. I didn't want you to be my friend if you're that type of person. I can't rub elbows with somebody like that. You know, if you're that far against the grain. Now we can. You know, there's some people that I have disagreements with and different political or social views, but I'm still friends with them because, hey, they do their thing and I do my thing and we talk it out, whatever. But when you start threatening and being really mean and, you know, come on, man, we're grown ups. Act like a damn adult.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like you said too about the virus, it's a real thing. It's a real thing, and it's out there, and it's not going to go away for a while, and we got to figure out how to deal with it safely.
Well, okay, speaking of the virus, what is the coronavirus, and, you know, how did it get started?
You know, so the coronavirus, it's part of a family of coronaviruses, so there's a bunch, you know, and there's ones that are less, you know, that cause disease much less, like the cold virus. You know, a lot of the common colds that we normally get during the year, they can be from coronaviruses. So this particular one, though, is just a real strong one. And it's actually, they finally named it as it's the SARS, S-A-R-S, COVID, or it's SARS hyphen COV2. And what that means is severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus number two. There was a SARS virus number one, and they don't call it one, they just call it, you know, SARS coronavirus back, you know, a few years back when they had that scare with SARS. I'm trying to think what year that was. It's early 2000s they had that going on. But anyway, so this is it's like the virus that would normally cause a cold, which is just on steroids that get into your lungs and can cause this crazy, you know, reaction in your lungs and all that. As far as where exactly it came from, we're not 100% sure. When they look at the genetics, when you look at the DNA and all that, it seems like it was related to a virus they see in bats. It's related, you know, the reason why they call it the SARS coronavirus 2 or coronavirus 2 is it's most closely related to that SARS coronavirus that we had before. So that's why they call it the two, because it's most related to that. And those particular viruses were found in bats. So they think, you know, they think that it probably came from, you know, a bat to humans. They're not sure if it came through another animal. There was some thought that it came through like an anteater type animal and then got to humans. There are some theories out there, and nobody knows for sure. There was a theory that, you know, in Wuhan where this thing started, there's a research lab there that researches viruses, and they were actually researching this particular strains of this kind of virus just to learn how to deal with it and learn about the virus. And there's been some theories that maybe that accidentally got out. You know, there's also been theories that there's like biochemical warfare, and it was, you know, we don't think it's that, because when you look at the genetics, when you look at the genetics of a virus that's kind of naturally that's in nature versus one that's been engineered to be a biochemical kind of biological warfare kind of thing, it doesn't have the markers like you would see with something that was manufactured to be a biological warfare. It looks like a natural virus that, you know, that if it did come from some lab, it might have got out by accident. Somebody didn't do enough precautions or something like that. You know, the prevailing theory is that it was, you know, it got into this wet market in Wuhan and, you know, and got out that way to people. So, but to be honest, Rodney, you know, the thing with this virus, and I think it's tough for a lot of folks and even, you know, medical people and non-medical people, is there's still a lot of unknowns. You know, and China's not being completely transparent, and we don't have a lot, you know, good information for sure. But I think the idea that it was biologically, like a biological chemical or biological weapon, I don't think it was that. If anything, it either started naturally, it just happened to jump over to humans, or maybe it was in the lab and it accidentally got out. So those are some of the prevailing theories, but.
Well, they call it the COVID-19. Can you explain to people, because I've tried, I'm not a doctor, but you are, what the 19 stands for? I know a lot of people think that it's the 19th type virus, but that's not true, is it?
No, it's for the year. It's because it started in 2019. Yeah, so the World Health Organization, they named it COVID-19. The COVID-19 is the actual disease that's caused by the SARS coronavirus number 2. So COVID-19 is, it's an abbreviation for, I think the COVI is part of the, it's coronavirus, and then the D is disease, and then 19, because it started in 2019, although it really didn't take off until after the new year or so. But the 19 stands for the year 2019.
Well, what is a pandemic?
So pandemic is it's you know, some type of infectious process that, you know, affects countries around the world. You know, I'm not sure the exact number of countries, but once it's kind of spread around the world, you know, the world, then it could be a pandemic. An epidemic now, an epidemic would be something kind of isolated to one area, maybe one country, that kind of thing. When it starts spreading across countries and across the oceans, then it becomes a pandemic when it's kind of affecting all around the world kind of thing. An epidemic is more local. Like if you had a measles epidemic in your, you know, in your city, you know, it'd be an outbreak of measles in a city or a county or a state or something like that. An epidemic, you know, is more local, where a pandemic is basically saying this is affecting countries around the world. So.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So say the coronavirus never left China, but it affected China and, you know, it killed a lot of people there. It would just been an epidemic in China. The fact that it left China and went to Europe and the United States and everywhere else, that made it into a pandemic that it was able to, that it spread around the world like it did. So.
Oh, okay. So how does the virus actually attack the body?
So what we believe happens is, you know, you end up breathing in aerosols. Like if, you know, somebody is, you know, if you're close enough to somebody and they're talking at you and little droplets get in the air and all that, and you breathe those in through your mouth, then eventually it drops down into your lungs. So it's, you know, it gets into your old mucosa, either your mouth, eyes, or nose, and it works its way down into the lungs. And what it's believed to do is it attacks the lung cells that make, you know, different things that help protect your lungs. There's a, there's a receptor in your lungs. Throughout your body, you have little receptors. They're like little keys and locks. You know, so the receptor is like a lock, and you got to have a little key that kind of fits in there. But there's a lock called an ACE, A-C-E, angiotensin receptor 2, and that virus tends to target that receptor. So to target that receptor, then it gets into the cells, into those cells in the lungs that have that receptor, and then it starts replicating. So, viruses in general, they need other cells to replicate. They can't do it on their own. So they often carry either DNA or in the case of the coronavirus, they carry RNA. You know, for life to kind of reproduce and make the things it needs to do for life, you got to have DNA and RNA. So most viruses, you'll have DNA viruses, you have RNA viruses. The coronavirus happens to be an RNA virus. So it has to get into cell. Any virus has to kind of get into a cell and use a cell to make more copies of itself. So, you know, so the virus gets in the lungs, finds this ACE receptor on the lung cells. Once it finds that, it attaches, and then it gets sucked into the cell. When it gets sucked into the lung cell, it starts replicating, and then when they get ready to release, it essentially kills the cell when the virus breaks free of the cell, and that causes the inflammation then in the body. So the body's response is to start trying to fight this virus off and try to kill it. What's happening with this particular situation with this coronavirus or the COVID disease is the body's just, you know, is just really reacting to this virus. It's like, you know, the virus seems to cause a particularly really, really robust or really severe reaction to try to kill it. So then the lungs get all this, you know, fluid, and it starts looking like pneumonia and stuff like that. So you get a lot of inflammation into the lungs. And that's kind of how it all starts. And then either that whole process will either stay mild or it will become severe, or it potentially will start making other organs get sick too, if that makes sense.
Well, I know I've seen where a lot of people have said that it's like the flu. Is it like the flu?
Well, the flu virus, any virus like the flu virus has to do the same thing. It has to get in the cells and then replicate and kill the cells and all that kind of stuff. It's different than the flu, I think, in the sense that it spreads easier than the flu does. You know, they believe that, you know, typically one person with coronavirus can infect, you know, 3-4 other people, where somebody with the flu will most likely just infect another person, like one person. You know, so then that one person can infect another person. The problem here is one person can infect 3-4, and those 3-4 can infect 3-4 each. So it gets to be this huge multiplication effect, you know, as far as the way it spreads. That's one difference between the flu, where the flu is more 1-to-1. You know, one person gives it to one person. You know, so the flu doesn't spread as fast as the coronavirus does. Some of the symptoms, you know, the mild coronavirus might feel like a severe flu kind of thing, or maybe, you know, even milder than that. So the other problem with the coronavirus right now is the death rate seems to be a lot higher than you see with the flu. I was actually looking at the numbers today before I called in with you, and based on the numbers we have right now, which a lot of people debate how accurate the numbers are as far as deaths and the amount of cases that we have. But if you figure out the death rate right now in America, about 6%, that's about a 6% death rate in the United States, and then also for around the world if you do the same workout. So right now about 6% of people, 6% of people that get the disease are dying from the disease, where flu, the death rate is lower. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember off the top of my head right now what the death rate from the flu is. The death rate is definitely low. It's lower than what it is for the coronavirus. So the chance of dying from coronavirus is higher than the flu. So those are some of the differences. And also, they're just different. They're different virus families. The flu, the influenza viruses are a different class of viruses than the coronaviruses. Although, you know, the way they kind of attack the body is similar: get in the cells, kill the cells, cause an inflammation response. So, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I think the other difference too, you know, when you look at coronavirus versus flu, is, you know, all of us have seen flu throughout our life. So we have some kind of immunity, even if every year the flu virus kind of mutates, so it's a different flu virus, but you might have a little bit of cross reactivity. If you had the flu this year versus the flu next year, you might it's not totally a new virus to you. The problem with this coronavirus is a totally new virus to humans, so we really don't have any immunity against it at all. So that's the other thing that's kind of hurting us. You know, with the flu virus, you may have a little bit of immunity left over from, you know, the year before or something like that. So, you know, the human race hasn't seen the coronavirus. So it's like a brand new thing that it's like totally new to our system, where with like flu, flu viruses aren't new to us. Although each year the virus that causes flu may be a little different, but our bodies might have a little bit of memory from the last year. So that's one of the things too, that's been a little tricky. The other thing that we're seeing a lot with coronavirus, more than you see with the flu, is when people get really sick, they're prone to getting blood clots, like strokes, heart attacks, blood clot in their lungs, blood clot in their kidneys. You know, with the severe flu case, when some people with flu will end up on ventilators and get really sick, and you can see some clotting in those cases too. But we're seeing that now that, you know, now that the virus has been around more, that people are having a higher likelihood to get clotting and stuff. I actually know of a patient that we were taking care of at our place that had a stroke. He had COVID, was on the ventilator. He's off the ventilator now, but he had a stroke as part of his COVID. So that's some differences, if that helps clear it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, what about people that are diabetic? And I know the elderly are really suffering from this, but I've also read a lot about people that are diabetics, that it's really running rampant through them, especially like, the Black community. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it seems like people with pre-existing diseases, diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, older folks, you know, I think with some of those things like diabetes, I guess it depends how well controlled you are. With diabetes, you know, if your sugars aren't well controlled, it affects your immune system. You know, when your blood sugars get higher than, you know, 200 or so, it starts affecting the way your body can fight infections. That's why a lot of times people with diabetes will get, you know, terrible infections that are, you know, and they'll be pretty advanced before they get to a doctor. And so diabetes is not well controlled, or if you already have complications, you know, from diabetes, it means your immune system just may not work as well. You know, also as we get older, our immune systems aren't as well. Don't work as well either. So it seems like, you know, with those kind of situations that we just don't, our immune system just isn't able to fight off the disease as well. And we might not have as much of a reserve to survive. You know, if you get really sick with this thing, it takes a lot of energy in your body to kind of fight it off. So if you're already kind of chronically ill and you don't have a lot of reserves, you know, as it is, you know, from, you know, having bad lungs or a bad heart, then it's just, you know, it's just hard to fight it off, because if you happen to unfortunately get really sick with this, your body can't handle it and you tend to get sicker than it would be if, you know, if you were, you know, maybe the same age but didn't have all those medical issues. So, although having said that, you know, some younger people who are pretty healthy are also getting overwhelmed with this thing too. So it just seems like people with diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, immune system problems, you know, those kind of things are just unable to really fight it off and are more susceptible to getting really sick to it. So,
yeah, I know I went to my diabetic doctor in February, and he was telling me about the virus, and my doctor's never done it before, but he got right in my face, and he's like, "Rodney, I'm telling you, you get this, you will die." He said, "Go home and don't come back out until I tell you you can come back out." And I was like,
"That's a good doctor. It's a good doctor."
I was like, "Damn!" And then all my other doctors that I see, they all called me and they're like, "Are you staying, you know, home?" I said, "Yes, yes." And you know, they would talk to me and ask what's going on, and you know, and just do it over the telephone, have a session with me to check me out, and it made me feel really good that they cared enough to just, you know, call me up and say, "You still alive?"
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and well, the other thing too with diabetes is, you know, even if you're controlled and you get sick, you know, a lot of times these illnesses, we see it knocks your system. You know, when you get a stress to your body and you got diabetes, it makes your sugars go haywire. So your sugars, you know, if you get COVID, you know, if you get coronavirus and you get sick, and then your sugars end up being skyrocket high, like 300. And that knocks out your immune system, so it doesn't function as well. So you can't really respond to the the virus, so it hits you a lot harder just because it's kind of like a circle, you know? It's like you get sick, it throws your sugars off, it makes you more sick, and so it gets to be kind of an ugly thing, so.
Yeah, he told me about 2 years ago in February, I got a blood infection real bad, and I didn't know it. And my wife told me I was running around the house naked, pissing on the floor and everything like that. I don't remember. But it was like on a Friday, I remember sending my granddaughter with her grandmother. And I woke up Monday evening, and I'm in the hospital in Kingsport, Tennessee, going, where am I at and what is going on?
And, oh, no, holy cow.
And there's like five different doctors come in there, and they're like, well, you had this, and we're surprised you're alive. But, hey, you want a drink of water or something? You feeling all right?
Holy cow, like, that's pretty scary, man. What kind of bloodstream infection did you have?
I can't remember. But I had some infection in the blood, and then I had – they said they think it started with strep throat, but I didn't even – have any symptoms of strep throat. I don't remember it. And then they said I had two different types of pneumonia in my lungs and something else. I mean, there's like four or five different doctors working on me for different things. I'm just like, can I walk? Can I get up and walk? They're like, well, that's a good sign. So. Yeah, went in.
Holy cow, that sounds scary.
Went in on a Sunday, and I got out that Thursday evening. Yeah, it was scary. I didn't even know anything was going on, to be honest with you. Well, the next thing is the testing on this. I know some political figures are saying that anybody can get tested, but that's not really true. And I've noticed that a lot of wealthy and, professional sports players and so forth don't even have no symptoms are getting tested. Is that fair for the ones who actually need to be tested? And anyway, is the testing even good? Because I've read a lot of things that different states are tested not that well.
Yeah, it depends what test you do. There's different kinds of tests, and you're looking for different things. Like, the test now where they stick it up your nose and screen, you're looking to see, do you actually have the disease right now? And then there's the antibody test, which is, you got to make sure you find the right one, because they're realizing some of the antibody tests aren't picking up accurately. So the antibody test is when they would draw your blood for, and you got to, see, that tells you if you've had the disease or been exposed to it. So the screening tests, though, those are the ones that do up the nose. They have a traditional one that takes like almost like a day to come back or so. Then they have one now, it's like a 2-hour rapid screen. The ones where they're swabbing your nose and testing, for the most part, those are pretty good now. In the beginning, they had a little bit of trouble with them. But they seem to be pretty accurate. No test is perfect. Every test has the ability, we'll miss some and overcall some. But the swabby ones are pretty good. The nose swab ones are pretty reliable. The antibody ones, I think you'd have to be careful with and really want to, if you were going to get that kind of test done, you'd want to kind of ask questions about that and see what it picks up on. Now, as far as who has access to it, yeah, it's really tough now because even, where I work, we're only testing people if we think they really need to be tested. Like, you got symptoms, or you had a definite exposure, or you had definite exposure and had symptoms. So it's like, you can't just go, like, for example, I couldn't just go get a test unless if I showed up and said, hey, I want a test because I'm a doctor and I got to work, but I'm not really sick and I didn't have any exposures. They most likely would say no. Right. So, and I haven't been tested, cause I haven't had any reason to be tested, but yeah, so it's still pretty limited, and at least in this area up here, in Charlottesville, it's mostly if you have symptoms or exposure or something like that. So I think that's kind of how it is around Virginia. But yeah, no, the idea that anybody can get a test if you want one is still not true. Now, if you got symptoms, and all that, then symptoms and you got a, you know, definite exposure, or symptoms without exposure and it sounds like a good story, then you can get it. The tricky thing is trying to figure out how to get it. You know, for me to get a test on somebody when I'm working, I got to actually talk to the hospital. They have hospital epidemiology, or the, those are the docs who are kind of like running the show as far as who's getting testing and kind of how we're going to treat this, you know, locally. And, you know, I got to call and run a case by them, and we kind of decide, you know, does this person fit a risk for having COVID? Do we not, you know, do we test, no test? So it's hard to just get a test, you know, at least for us lay folks. Now, I guess if you got a lot of money or you're, you know, in the White House, you can get tests all day long. So yeah, it's not fair. It's not fair how it's being done. And even, you know, some places, I don't know, some, you know, places aren't testing or they're not reporting their results, you know, because they don't even want to know what the reason, you know, they don't want to add to the numbers, I guess. But go ahead. Does that answer your question, Rodney, I hope?
Yeah. But it brings up a question. I mean, I'm trying to go by where I've got so many that people had sent me, but I know this is going to jump in political a little bit, but what is your opinion about the president not wanting to wear a mask?
Yes, I think it's a bad role model. I think from what I understand, it's more of a vanity thing. He's afraid how it's going to look. I don't know if you heard that. You know, I've seen that in one of the reports where, you know, he would wear one, but he's afraid if he does, and the news media is going to tear him, rip him up, and make fun of him. So I think it's more that he's just worried about the look of it, unfortunately, which is sad, because if anything, he should set a role model for the country that this is the kind of the way to help, you know, prevent from getting this disease. You know, the masks aren't perfect, but it's you know, it's a good step to try to stop the spread of it, you know.
Right.
I know I've seen all these things on Facebook about, well, this mask and that mask, and nobody really knows. But you know what? It's gonna help a little bit to a lot. It's better than not having a mask at all. So, you know, it's not wearing a mask is not as good as wearing a mask. Wearing a mask will help a little bit, if not a lot. And I think with the president, I think from what I understand, he just thinks he's embarrassed to wear a mask in front of the public. Because it sounds like he wore it when he went to the Ford plant in Michigan, but then when the cameras were on, he took it off because he was worried about his appearance, which he generally worries more about himself than the country, and that's the sad thing. And
that's true, and that's sad. That's sad. I mean, we had over 100,000 people just die, and his running mate, Joe Biden, or one that's running against him, you know, he had nice words to say to the country, but Trump is not. He's too worried about what Twitter was fact-checking him.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to me because I think this would be a good time. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Trump, you know, but I try to be understanding. But this would be a good time if you really, really wanted to show that you care for the country. And even if you cared about being reelected, you would want to step up and make a good, you know, be a good role model, try to help out people, get the testing. You know, there's so many things that he could do in a positive way that may actually help him than what he's doing, you know. And it's, you know, it's like, he puts out these guidelines like wear a mask, social distance, but then behind the scenes, he's like, don't wear a mask, don't social distance. Everybody open up your states. But then on TV and the press conference, he's like, well, we should lock down and stuff. So it's like this constant mixture of, you know, of say one thing and then say the next thing, you know, on the flip side. And it's like, you don't know. But this, it's sad because this would be a good opportunity for him to show leadership and care about the country. And it seems like it's more just about reelection than. It bothers me. It really does, because it's people's lives. And some people don't know any better, and they're like, hey, Trump said it, and now I'm following him, and he knows what he's talking about. And it's sad because some of those people are going to, you know, get really sick.
Yeah, I just don't think the man has any empathy. I don't think it's not in him. He doesn't care. And these lives are numbers to him. It just, they're not people. They're numbers.
Right. Right.
And it's sad. You, like you said, here in the country, he's forcing the country, pretty much he's forcing everybody to reopen. And I'm sure you've seen the numbers in Alabama, West Virginia, Arkansas, stuff like that are going through the roof. And
yeah,
and then you see all these people at the beaches and water parks, social distancing, masking up, just asshole to elbow with everybody. And coronavirus is like, party on, people.
I know. Well, and it's tough as a healthcare provider because, you know, you see this and then, you know, these folks are going to go out and they're going to do all this stuff. They're going to get really sick and then they want help, you know, and of course we're going to help them, but it's like, you could have not caught this if you just would have followed the rules. I know even now, Rodney, like I go, you know, up here we got Walmart and we got different grocery stores. Like, you know, about a month ago when you went to the store, you know, probably like 90% of people had masks on and, you know, followed social distancing. The last like couple of weeks, it's just been, you know, it's like maybe 25% of people got masks on now. And in fact, I was telling the story to some other people, me and my daughter, she's 7, we went to Walmart and we put our masks on and we actually got dirty looks from people not wearing masks, you know, and I actually felt uncomfortable. I'm like, but I'm not going to feel uncomfortable because this is what we need to do. But it was kind of like, you know, kind of like an attitude of why are you wearing that mask and, you know, and what's wrong with you? And, you know, it's like, you know, the virus is still out there and it really makes you sick sometimes. You know, it can make you sick. It could kill you.
And those people, and say they do that to me and, you know, my family, they give us that, you know, that weird look. And I tell everybody, I said, they're giving us the zombie look. They're giving us the look like they're going to eat us, man. You know, this is serious. You know, we're the ones with the shotgun. You know, we the one with the mallet and the scythe and all that. Get away. But no, they're like, if we're going to die, we're going to take you with us. And it's so wrong. It just blows my mind. I'm sorry. These people, just like the people when this first was going on, starting out, stop praising you doctors and nurses. And all the hospitals doing such great work, which I still do. But then they're going to their state capitals with, you know, with AR-15s dressed up in combat gear. Like, how are you going to shoot something you can't even see?
I know. It's disturbing.
It's crazy. Trump syndrome and this Trump culture, it's scary. It is scary. A lot of people are going to die. A lot more are going to die.
Yeah. I think so, man. I hate to say it. Yeah. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, the only way we know to kind of fight this thing is, you know, social distancing, masks, you know, washing your hands. You know, there's really not a good treatment. You know, there's different things they're trying and, you know, they're working on a vaccine, but all those things aren't going to be around for a while. You know, so you're kind of out of luck. And if you get it, you know, all we can do is try to get you through it. You know, hopefully you don't get critically ill, you know, and end up in an ICU or whatever. But there's not like, hey, you know, if you get it, it's okay. You're rolling the hospital and we'll give you some stuff and it'll go away. It's like the best we can do is we call it supportive therapy, you know, give you oxygen, you know, give you some IV fluids, try to get fluid out of you if you need it. You know, put you on a ventilator, try to rest your lungs, you know, try to give it time. You know, it's like, so it's the only thing we really have that we know could potentially help this is the social distance and wear a mask and wash your hands. I mean, though, you know, it's like, it's just crazy for me too. And a lot of my doctor friends, you know, we're all kind of like, you know, it's going to get worse again. And, you know, and it's tricky, but I know too, you know, Rodney, to be in fairness sake, I mean, I know you can't keep the economy shut down and you can't keep everybody locked up. Right. So it gets to be a balancing act, you know, if you're going to open everything up, you got to do it safe and cautiously. And, you know, and so I know it's a tough situation because, you know, I don't want to be locked down either, but you also don't want to get sick and, or spread it. So.
Right. Well, what do you think about the approach that the Netherlands, you know, what they're doing by not doing a full lockdown, but, you know, rather try to spread it controllably, you know, in order to try to herd the immunity.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That's all kind of a theoretical thing. It's probably, I would think it's probably a bad move, to be honest with you. I don't, because that's what England tried to do, right? And then they, right now, I just seen in the news, they got the highest death rate in the world right now, you know, so I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was, because it just don't sound good. You're like, well, we'll just let you people over here die out, and these younger people, you'll survive.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a good idea. It's not a good idea.
Well, why is Germany and South Korea, why have they had, you know, such fewer fatality rates than other countries?
You mean, did you say less fatality rates or whatever?
Yeah, less fatality rates.
Well, I think it's because they had a quicker response. You know, some of these countries, even like New Zealand and Australia and South Korea, I mean, they had a quick response, you know, and they, you know, they didn't, you know, they kind of took it seriously right from the get-go. In fact, I've seen there was a comparison between South Korea and United States. They both found out the same day, but South Korea got, like, on it right away, and it really changed the outcomes as far as case fatality rate, or, you know, the number of people that died from it versus the delay that we had in this country to get a good response going, and how much, you know, and then how many deaths we've had and how it's still kind of going. But I think the countries that did better with it, that have the lower fatality rates, took it more seriously. You know, they I don't know if they locked down sooner, but they took it more seriously, had a better response. They had a, you know, kind of a countrywide response, you know, testing, you know, South Korea, just, you know, the thing they did there was they just tested, you know, as soon as somebody got it, they did, you know, contact tracing, you know, find out who you were exposed to, that they got it, and if they got it, who were they exposed to. So they tried to nip it in the bud real quick, you know, so they were able to test it, find people, test those people, and get those people isolated that had it to stop the spread, which is kind of what you had to do with something like this. You know, as soon as you got a case, you got to get on it, right? Get on it,
yeah.
Find out where you got it, who else had it, and put all those people in isolation so they can't spread it. And then when another case pops up, you do the same thing. So I think that's what South Korea did, and, you know, New Zealand and all those kind of countries had a, you know, and then I think the other thing too is, you know, some of these countries, they, you know, the citizens did what they had to do. And, you know, I know in some of these countries they got a different government than, you know, as far as what we have, but, you know, it's, you know, I think it was just the quick response, testing, you know, contact tracing, and just kind of shutting it down as quick as it could. I think, you know, here we had a little delay in taking how serious it was, and, you know, and so I think that kind of hurt us here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and what hurts the most is knowing that we were once the greatest nation on the planet, you know, some of the smartest people on the planet, and caring people on the planet. But this virus, this pandemic really showed America's true colors. It is really, really sad. It makes me sick of my stomach.
You know, I agree with you. I have that frustration too. And sometimes I talk with my colleagues, my doctor friends, I'm like, you know, we're supposed to be the best country in the world. And even testing, you know, like even for, hang on a second, Rodney, I'm gonna step outside for a minute.
Okay.
Step outside. My girlfriend's giving me the evil eye because I'm being too loud. So I go out my Jeep.
I'm like, you're talking to me.
Hang on a second. Let me go out my car.
Hey, don't feel bad. I'm going to interview you out my car too. So don't worry. I'm good.
The other thing is my girlfriend's air conditioning isn't working that well in her house,
uh-huh.
And it's so hot in there. So my Jeep, actually, I got some better air conditioning going.
Oh, okay.
So, right, can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've often felt that too. It's kind of embarrassing that, you know, and I'm trying not to be political, but the truth of the matter is we're supposed to be the best country on the face of the earth. And we can't even get the testing we need. Even in hospitals, that if we need a test, it should be, hey, just like you order any other test, it should be, I need a COVID test, and that's it. It shouldn't be, well, we got to ration that stuff, you know.
You know, so it's just, it is shocking. And it's frustrating as a physician. You know, the other thing was with the personal protective equipment. I was shocked when the president stood up there at a news conference and said that all the doctors that are saying there's no PPE, there's no protective equipment like gowns and gloves and stuff like that, that it's all fake news. I don't know if you saw the one, Rodney, but I was like, I was sick to my stomach that this man's going to stand there and say that, because he was like, well, you know, they're going on MSNBC and they're going on CNN. They're just, they're all fake news, just trying to hurt me. It's like, oh my God, did you really just say that? I'm like, it's true. PPE was a problem and still is a problem for a lot of places. And I was shocked. I'm like, I can't believe this president of our United States just stood there and said that.
The thing that gets me with this whole situation is, I know for a fact that President Obama had a pandemic group of people that was ready to respond, and also had a game plan, a guideline book of if it happened and when it did happen, what to do, and they dismissed it all. I cannot believe they actually did that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what. That bothers me too. It just seems like, you know, that Donald Trump just wants anything Obama. He's just trying to get rid of it, whether it makes sense or not. It's just, I don't know what it is against Obama, but he's just, it seems like anything he can try to deconstruct that anything that Obama did that was, you know, in a positive way or what, anything he did for that matter, seems like he just wants to destroy it. Or take it away, whether it makes sense or not. And this one really come back to bite them, because, you know, if we would have had a preemptive group like that, they probably would have said, hey, this is coming to America. We gotta activate our country now. You know, like back in January. You know, the scientists would have been there, like, hey, we're looking at this. You know, hopefully it doesn't come to America. But there's a good chance it's going to, and we need to get on top of this and figure out a plan to kind of either stop it now or figure out how we're going to deal with it, because it's coming, you know. But no, it was like, I don't know when we finally got activated, but it was, you know, a month later or something. And but anyways, sorry.
Well, what gets me, and I don't understand. Maybe you can explain this maybe better from what I have heard. With the PPE, the ventilators, and all the supplies that you all needed for something like this, you know, hospitals and states should be able to go to our federal government and get these supplies, because from what I understand, our government, our tax money is supposed to have this stuff stored in case of an emergency like this. But when you And then when you find out that we didn't have none of this, and he's blaming Obama for it, when, you know, you the dude on watch, you the dude that's been on watch for 4 years, you know, you can't blame Obama. I know they're making it political. This is termed political, whether you try not to make it political or be involved with it. It has become political.
Unfortunately, yeah. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be political. It should be a human response. It should be another human being or a group of human beings responding to the needs of fellow human beings. It shouldn't be, you know, Republican, Democrat. And it's sad because it has become that. And it's like you can't really turn back from that now. Unfortunately, it's like, as human beings, you know, you would respond a whole lot differently than we responded, you know, early on. I mean, we're kind of responding now, but it's still haphazard. In fact, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Rodney, I'm not trying to scare people, but, you know, the fall is going to be, it's going to be sketchy in the fall. And the reason I'm saying this is that what kind of plan do we have for the fall? You know, what we should be planning, like President Trump or any president should be like, hey, you know, it's getting better, but we got to be thinking about the fall. Hopefully it doesn't get bad, but this is what we're going to do. Bing, 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 bing. You don't see any of that. You know, right now we're lucky because we don't have the flu right now. When you get the flu with the virus, coronavirus, it's going to be ugly potentially. Hopefully not, but there's a big potential to have the healthcare system be overwhelmed, because with a bad flu year by itself, it can, you know, we can fill the ICUs up and fill the hospitals up just with the flu sometimes. But if you got flu and COVID out there, it's going to be challenging. And to my knowledge, I've been tuning away from the news a little bit because it gets me so frustrated. To my knowledge, I don't think there's any planning as far as what we're going to do in the fall. you know, and there really should be. We should be planning right now for the fall.
I know Dr. Fauci keep, you know, bringing it up on like CNN, MSNBC, and you know, anybody, even Fox. He's telling them we got to be prepared for the fall, and man, it's like death deals.
We do.
And what scares me? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I hope for the best, but you got to plan for the worst in this situation, because the virus, and this is the reality, this isn't scare tactics, it's not going to go away by fall. You know, the best we can hope is that the cases are going to drop off, but there's going to be clusters, you know, either, you know, around America and around the world. Like, look at Brazil, you know, South America, you know, and Africa and those things. You know, they're going to, it's still going to be circulating, so it's not going to be gone completely. So it's going to be at a risk to kind of flare back up. So we got to be thinking about that.
Especially people flying again. Oh my gosh! I mean, I know people need to fly, but that should be the number one form of transportation, and especially big cruise ships would be no.
No, I agree, man. I wouldn't be doing any of that. Now, that's my personal choice. You know, I'm not telling people not to do those things, but you know, right now for the rest of this year, I'm not planning any big travel like that or big events, no concerts, you know, nothing like that kind of stuff. It's, you know, I think you got to give it time, man. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, try to come back as much as you can, but you got to be safe. And I think any kind of big events with groups of people in it, it's not going to work unless you can really enforce social distancing, you know, in an event or whatever, you know, I think if you can, you know, enforce social distancing and where people wear masks, you might be able to, you know, have some of these events, but you got to be strict about it. If you just say, come on in, everybody, like it used to be, it's going to just be a mess.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why I'm not going to have a Phantom Fest this year. I'm going to wait to next year. And also, I do a Christmas photo shoot. And I've done it for 11 years. And I just can't do it this year. I'm not going to. I'm not going to put my people that help me risk their lives, my life, or my clients' lives, because I cannot control them social distancing, especially when you're putting kids on Santa's lap to have their picture taken.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you, man. It's probably
just let it slide this year.
It's probably better not to schedule it. That way you don't have to cancel it. You know, it's probably better just to not even plan them and just start fresh next year.
Yeah, that's exactly what. And that give them plenty enough time to hopefully we find a vaccination or cure or something.
Yeah, it sounds like the vaccine things are working pretty hard. I just don't know if it'll be ready by the end of the year or not. But you never know. I mean, they get these breakthroughs. But generally, the vaccines take a long time, but they're really rushing it through now. So they may have something by the end of the year. Then the question is getting it out to folks, you know, and then you got these folks who don't want to take it, and you know, and it's all this kind of stuff.
Oh my God, they're fighting for a vaccine, and then I'm not putting that in me. Hell no, that's crazy.
Right? I don't know, man. It's crazy times, man. I can't make sense of it. It doesn't make any sense to me anyway. Because then these are the folks that want to go to work. You know, they're like, I want to go to work. I don't want to be locked up. But I want to take a vaccine. I don't want to wear a mask. It's like, well, I don't know what we're supposed to do for you.
That's right.
You know, I guess just hopefully you don't get sick. And if you do, hopefully you don't die from it. And, you know, what the heck.
That's right. Well,
I think the thing with this virus. Virus, you know, I see a lot of people posting about, like, you know, their rights feel violated and my rights this, my rights that. And, you know, nobody wants to lose their rights, but the problem with this virus is how contagious it is. So, say I get it, but I don't get sick, but I give it to three or four other people, and half those people get sick, and you know, one of those people die or something. You know, it's like that's the tricky thing about this. It's not so much, you know, everybody has their rights and their freedoms and all that, but you got, you know, it becomes tricky when your decisions and your rights affect the rights of others that didn't want to get sick, but you didn't care about it. So you went and got it and gave it to this poor person who got sick. And now they're, you know, in the ICU or they died, heaven forbid. But I see a lot of this stuff too, and it's kind of, I know it's tricky to negotiate it, but it's like, we all got our rights, but where does it, is it fair for you to make a potentially bad decision that's going to hurt people around you? And, you know, and what about their rights and all that stuff? So I've been seeing that a lot on Facebook.
Well, I know it's all right. It's all about me. That's one thing that bothers me with the way America is today. It ain't the United States of America. It's me, America, me. America's number one, which means I'm number one. Screw all you all.
Yeah.
And I hate that mentality. I hate it. I don't know when it started. I don't know why it started, but I know our ancestors and our forefathers and the great men and women that broke their back to make this country, they turned their back on us in shame.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I can't put my finger on it either. It's like there just seems to be a certain amount of this like anger and pent-up frustration, and it's kind of sad. I don't know where it comes from. I feel bad that, you know, so many folks out there have this anger and hatred towards each, you know, other people, and, you know, except for like their own kind of thing, you know, kind of going back to the whole race thing. And but even among, like, you know, even among white folks, there's groups of white folks that seem to be so angry at everything and everybody, even other white folks, and, you know, and different people, different points of view. And it's just sad. It's sad that all that's kind of been brewing underneath. And, you know, it's like these last several years, last 3 or 4 years has really brought that out. And then this virus in particular, it's just, you know, it's sad that this is a time when we all need to come together and try to unify. And, you know, even if there's going to be a few people that are going to be, you know, not wanting to do it or saying things that aren't right, you think as a community of human beings in this country and the world, we could come together and say, hey, you know, I really don't, you know, I'm really, you know, Republican or Democrat, but I'm going to put all that stuff aside because I care about everybody around me as people. And it just seems like a certain percentage of folks just won't, just don't buy into that and just have this anger and hatred. It's scary, you know?
It is scary. And I agree with you.
But we need to come together. We need to come together and work together to help this, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that suffer and that need help, and it to me it feels like America's lost its humanity. It don't have no empathy either. I mean, you know, I know the past 4 years it's been rough, and you know when Obama was the president, I just couldn't see why everybody, you know, I don't understand why so many people that I know hate the man, because he helped the economy. He brought it from the brink of from going over the edge. He did so much good for our country and such a well-spoken man. And I don't understand the hate. But I think where I'm missing it is the fact that he was a black man. You know, I just don't want to look at it that way. But I know deep in my heart that so many people disliked him and hated him because he was a black man.
Yeah, you know, I think that we're exactly alike on that point, because I kind of feel that way too. That, you know, exactly. you said what I've been thinking too. That, you know, it's just so much hate and people are just so upset. And I think, you know, that attitude is kind of what, you know, now that, you know, Trump or a white man being president, now people are just, you know, all those people that were so fed up just like unleashing all this anger that they have pent up, you know, and like, you know, so it's, yeah, I think it's exactly that, unfortunately. And, you know, and people had a hard time dealing with that. But yeah, I mean, I think Obama did good things too. You know, I wasn't, you know, I liked Obama a lot. You know, there were things I didn't like either, but I think he definitely, you know, he got health care for folks, and, you know, he was a class act. You know, he never had all his cabinet members getting, you know, kicked out or going to jail, you know, or those kind of things. He never had him being on trial for, you know, working with a foreign government. So, you know, it's just like he had a lot of class, a lot of character, and, you know, and well-spoken and all that. So, but yeah, I agree with you on your assessment on that.
And that anger that you were speaking about across America, you get someone like Donald Trump that can feed off that and can stir it up and poke at it, and it's just like a fire, you know. It's down to the hot coals, and he knows if he, you know, pokes it a little bit, I'll stir it up, it'll get hotter, and it did.
Yeah, right. Well, and the sad thing, you know, is that
and to me, the sad thing is the fact that he don't even care about these people. These people mean nothing to him.
You read my mind. I was going to say the exact same thing, man. You read my mind. Well, the thing is, that's exactly right. You know, most of his followers, he would never associate with them. They would never get to come to his country clubs and hang out in his club, in his places. You know, if they showed up, he wouldn't let them in there. He just knows that by saying what he has to say, he'll get their vote, and that's all he cares about. He doesn't really care about them, and that's what's frustrating. That's what and I don't understand why those folks can't see that. And all it's just that, I guess it's that anger that they felt towards, you know, Obama and the way the country's going. I know a lot of people feel that we're too politically correct, and the white man's losing the country, and it's just shocking to me. And Trump, he feeds on that to get what he wants. But you're right. He doesn't care about these folks. You know, he doesn't care about these people at all. But they seem to think he does. He's a good salesman, man. He's got it down, I tell you.
Oh yeah, he's good at that. He's good at selling that name, yeah. And the thing is, another side of the coin is the Pentecostal people, the churchgoers, the Christians. That, you know, a lot of them were my family members that voted for Trump, and I'm like, how can you vote for somebody that you wouldn't even let in your church because they're so vile?
Right.
Because God's going to use him. God's going to use him, and God's going to do great things through him. I'm like, are you shitting me? What Kool-Aid are you on drinking?
I can't believe it, man. I got a good friend, a good doctor friend, and church going, and, you know, really religious, but, you know, smart person, you know, tries to live a good life. All big Trump supporter, and I'm just shocked. And we got to the point now where we can't talk about politics. We talk about doctor stuff and, you know, kind of talk about friend, you know, kind of non-important stuff. But this person, he's just so brainwashed into Trump. I'm like, I'm just blown away by it. I'm like, and he's a super smart. He's one of the smarter doctors. One of the smartest doctors I know. And he's a, you know, super religious person. But just like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like Trump is like, he's not at all what a godly man should be like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy to me. I don't know what to say or do anymore.
Well, I feel good that we got that part of it out because, you know, be honest with you, it is Trump turned this pandemic so political that you can't even have a conversation about the virus unless you talk about the reason why it's destroyed so many lives in America.
Yeah, you're right. You really can't separate them.
Mm-mm-mm. So can the coronavirus mutate?
You know, so there's different schools of thought. You know, like I said, there's so much we're learning. I know right now they got two different strains that they think are circulating. They call it like an L strain and I think an R strain. There's the word it could mutate. And that's one of the problems with the vaccine is, you know, if you finally come up with a vaccine, you know, what if it mutates in the next year or the year after? So it's possible. Any virus can do that because you got to remember that, like I said earlier, a virus is using your cells to reproduce itself. So it uses like your DNA and your RNA, and there's always like reshufflings going on. So it could pick up, you know, if it affected me, for example, it could pick up some of my DNA or my RNA or whatever, incorporate it into itself, and it may give it some special power it didn't have before. We're not sure if that's really happening. It seems to be reasonably stable from what we could tell. From the genetics right now, I think
let's see. I just read this before I got on. There's like 103 different strains, but they're all similar enough that they're not. There's not major mutations, but they're just little slight mutations. So, but you do run that risk, you know, with any virus that it could potentially mutate to something that's, you know, that could be trickier to take care of, or it could mutate the other way and maybe not be so bad. Like I know they think the virus that came from China to like to Washington and California was a little different than it was than the one from Europe. You know, the one that came through Europe to New York, they think was a little more virulent, was a little more like caused was made people sicker than the one that came over the Pacific Ocean to from China to California. So, you know, so there is some possibilities of it, you know, if there, you know, being some mutations, just hopefully they're not any major ones. Especially if you get a vaccine that comes out. That's the problem with the flu. You know, every year we got to have a different flu vaccine because the flu viruses are always kind of reshuffling and coming up with a different pattern and stuff. So, although, but the coronavirus is not thought to be that active of a changer as far as we know right now. Like the flu virus tends to, it can mutate pretty quickly, where coronavirus is thought to be maybe a little more stable in that regard. So,
okay.
But you do worry about the possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you survive the virus once, could you be reinfected?
You know, we don't know for sure. We're thinking that the body makes antibodies and it gives you some immunity. So the question is how long those antibodies, your immune system, will recognize that and kind of fight it off. So what we are seeing, though, is people that are positive have the disease get better than test negative and also test positive. We've seen that. But we think the reason for that is that the virus itself is gone, but there's pieces of virus left. So the test you do looks for parts of the virus to see if it's positive or not. And so they think that there may be leftover parts of the virus when somebody's like been had the disease, tested negative, and to test positive again, but they're not sick, that the test may be picking up on leftover pieces of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I don't think there's cases for sure where people have gotten sick twice from it. But to be honest, we don't know for sure. But we think you should have some immunity once you've had it. But you could test positive again, but not be sick. If that makes sense.
So that would make you a carrier and you could infect people?
If you tested positive again, but you already had it, most likely it's testing positive because you got like four little pieces left, but you don't have whole viruses. So most likely you wouldn't be a carrier if you've already gotten through it and, you know, and tested negative but then tested positive again. But it's one of those things. I hate to keep saying it. We just don't know 100% for sure. But it's not been proven that if you had it, got better, that you could potentially carry it and give it away. You know, once your symptoms are free, and, you know, a lot of times we're testing people to see if they're negative. Like, I know I have a patient that had it, was on a ventilator, and then before he came to us, he tested negative twice. So they're, you know, usually you end up testing negative once it's kind of resolving itself and once your symptoms are free. So.
Okay. Well, what's your thoughts on the hydroxychloroquine, the light, and disinfectant in your body to kill the virus?
No, don't do any of that stuff. Don't do any of that stuff. Especially the disinfectant, and the light in your body. No, you don't want to do that. And the hydroxychloroquine, there's been a big study came out that it doesn't help, and it may actually cause more problems. You know, I did a little video on my personal Facebook page about this, that, you know, the hydroxychloroquine is not made for viruses, period. The only thing they thought might help is, you know, hydroxychloroquine will treat malaria, and malaria, you know, it's not a virus, I'm drawing a blank on it. It's a parasite, but I'm drawing a blank on what kind of parasite it is. You know, but the Plasmodium is the name of it. But what happens with malaria is it has to get into the red blood cells. You know, malaria is an infection of red blood cells. So the red blood cells got to engulf the malaria, then that's how it causes infection. Where cells got to, you know, take the malaria parasite into them. So people thought, well, you know, you do the same thing with viruses. You know, the virus has got to be engulfed into a cell. So maybe hydroxychloroquine, since it kind of works on that process of a infectious agent being taken into a cell, then maybe it would help. But really for viruses, you know, that's why hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, you know, they're not antivirals. You know, you have antibacterials for bacteria, antivirals for viruses, anti-malarial or anti-parasitic drugs like, you know, hydroxychloroquine for those kind of things. And, you know, also the hydroxychloroquine is used to kind of decrease the immune response also for, like, rheumatoid arthritis and things like that, lupus, you know, inflammation diseases. But really, the hydroxychloroquine and the chloroquine are not made for viruses, and they don't target the way a virus works, except for that idea of being engulfed, you know, by the cell. So, but the research they did, it looks like it's not proven to really help. So I would say no. I would say no. It's, you know, it does have side effects. It can, you know, irritate your liver. It can affect your heart. You know, give you a heart arrhythmia, funky rhythms. You know, and stuff like that. Especially if you're already taking other medications, you got to be careful with. If you're taking any other heart medications and you start taking that, you know, you worry about potentially heart complications. So I would not take it just for the heck of it. In fact, I mean, right now they're saying you really shouldn't take it for coronavirus unless you're in some kind of research study that they're studying it. But I think a lot of the studies have kind of stopped now because they realize there's more harm than good from them.
Well, is the president, when he said that he's taking it, is he bullshitting us, or do you think he's really taking it?
You know, I don't know, man. I would almost think he's bullshitting us, because I don't know. I can't see him taking that, but I can see him trying to make a point to piss off people. You know, he seems to want to irritate everybody. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if he was actually taking it.
Well, why is he pushing it so much if, you know, the science is there that says that if you take this drug, it will cure you or make you feel really, really bad?
I don't know. I don't know. I think, you know, he got, you know, I don't know if he got like a little news clip because, you know, early on there was talk about it and, you know, they had supposedly tried it out with SARS-1. When the SARS was going around, you know, earlier in the 2000s, they had tried it, and there was maybe some help with that. And I think they tried it with Ebola, too, when we had the Ebola thing going on, and there was some question whether it helped, but nobody really had any proof for sure. And I think, you know, Trump, I think the way he talks about it, I think, you know, he kind of felt like, well, it's been around a long time for malaria, it's been around a long time for you know, for these different arthritis conditions like, you know, lupus, could go wrong, you know. Supposedly, like, oh, you know, it's obviously it's on the market for other things, so it must be safe. That's all I can think of is how he made the leap that, you know, if it potentially could help and it's supposedly not going to hurt, what's the problem? But the problem is it does have a lot of side effects, you know, and even when it comes to treating, you know, some of these immunological diseases, you know, it's not our first-line drug because it's an older drug and it has complications, you know, it has some side effects to it. So, you know, so I think he just kind of extrapolated that it's been around forever. Maybe it might help, and it sounds like maybe it's safe. And, you know, then, you know, probably heard something on Fox News that said it was okay. And, you know, because I know there was some right-wing media stuff that was out about it being okay and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah. I think it's probably a bad move for him to do that as a president. But I think, you know, he was trying to reach for something that could kind of make it look better that it wasn't going to be as bad as it was and to make people feel, you know, maybe give some people some kind of hope or, you know, but the problem was it just wasn't, the science wasn't there yet to kind of, to really say yes or no. So I don't know. It wasn't a good move to kind of make. I think he was just kind of trying to pull something out to make everything look better than how it was.
Well, in your opinion, you know, after this pandemic comes to a close, however long, you know, that'll take, what should be the first step as a global community take so that we are better prepared, you know, for the next pandemic?
Well, it's a good question, man. I think, you know, you got to be thinking about down the line. And, you know, I think you do need to kind of put a team back, you know, like, a, you know, some type of way to kind of monitor the, you know, monitor the situation all the time, kind of like what was in there before with that, you know, the thing that Obama had put in. You need to have some kind of, you know, committee or group that kind of is going to pay attention to these things and have an early alert. You know, with this particular virus, you know, all politics aside, if we could have responded quicker to it, it may have saved lives. I think we people probably still would have died, but it would probably have been less people and we could have had a better response. So I think you need a team that pays attention to all these things around the world because, you know, Ebola is still out there. You know, there's all these other potential viruses that are still out there. So, you know, you need to have a group that kind of keeps track of that. And, you know, and I think the other thing that we learned with PPE is we got to start making that stuff here in America. You know, so much, you know, so much of the gowns and gloves and things were made out of the country, you know, and masks and stuff like that were made out of the country that it really hurt us, especially when China, you know, who makes all this stuff was sick and couldn't really make the stuff, you know, and they needed the stuff. So I think we got to, you know, figure a way to make a lot of that stuff here in the country and stockpile it and then have a way to pay attention all the time and then to react quickly when this happens again.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Doc, I guess I'll ask you a couple more questions before I let you go. One is, and I do appreciate you talking about the COVID so much, and maybe hopefully that this may, you know, bring some light to some people that keep listening to the bullshit and listen to the professionals and the doctors and the science. It will save your life. But how is the paranormal investigations going? Because I know I ain't done shit this year and don't plan on doing anything.
Yeah, that's a good question. I ended up sneaking away maybe about a few weeks ago, and I helped out a team that's getting started called Paranormal Visionaries and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it was a small group of people and all that. So, but even then, I felt a little bit weird. But we had a good investigation. But as far as doing the big stuff, I know a lot of the there was a lot of different paracons and things like that that have been kind of rescheduled, and public events have been rescheduled. I think some of these events are starting to kick off again. But I know I'm actually helping out another team, Lunar Paranormal. They're doing a public event coming up in June. And we're just really stressing the idea of, first of all, it's a small group of people. Next of all, you got to have masks, you got to social distance and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's, a lot of the things have been shut down, you know, a lot of locations are shut down and, you know, and then also because of the no travel kind of thing and all that. So, yeah, the investigating has been kind of on the lower side. Now, I've been posting some stuff on my page recently that I had me and Christine, my girlfriend, had did an investigation in February before all this really took off. So I had some good evidence from there that I've been posting. And then we'd done an investigation in January, too, before this kind of all took off. So I have some evidence from there I've been kind of looking through that I never got a chance to kind of review. But, no, overall, I mean, it's, for the most part, it's shut down as far as doing a lot of investigations.
We're
really doing any big investigations, so.
Yeah, it's like me. I just told them, we need a good year off. Let's take a year off and reboot. And you know, my book just came out in February, so I was tickled about that. And, it came out right when all hell broke loose. And I'm like, well, that's me. My known. Here I got a book. Finally wrote a book. And then a pandemic hits and can't get nobody to buy one. Yeah, that's how you do it.
I know. Well, I tell you, it hit everybody. Hey, I saw you though, man. I saw you on that on Travel Channel. I think I messaged you about that. It was something about the haunted graveyard and all that.
Yeah, we did that back in 2011, 13, 12, somewhere in there. It's been a while.
It looked like it was from a few years ago.
Like, you don't look like
I was watching it. Like, Rodney Shortbridge. Yeah. I'm like, Rodney, I know Rodney. I watched it. It was a good episode. It was a good little. It was a good piece.
You know, that morning when you saw it, someone else, another friend of mine on Facebook, you know, they messaged me probably about 5 minutes after you, going, "Hey, I just seen you on the Travel Channel." And I'm like, the doc did too. I'm like, wow, who else is going to holler at me?
Yeah, what show was that? Caught Paranormal on Camera or?
No, it was My Ghost Story.
Yes, yeah. That was it, yeah. It was good.
Well, Doc, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I want to thank you, you know, all the nurses and medical staff that you work with, you know, for y'all's hard work and your dedication to saving so many lives and staying strong through all the bullshit to make it through this. And you know, you all have always been my heroes, regardless of all these other people out here talking shit, man. I do. I love you all to death. And, you know, there've been some doctors I've dealt with that I've been like, you know, you're an asshole, but I still respect you. But you're not. You're cool as shit. But there've been some doctors I've dealt with that. There've been a few of them that I've been like, God, why are you such an asshole? But,
I got some colleagues. For the most part, they're nice. But some people just have I know, yeah. They just got a different way of looking at things sometimes. Hey,
let me see,
before I go, can I say just a couple things about COVID?
Oh, yeah. Anything we didn't hit, you go for it.
I think I just really want to stress, you know, all politics aside and all that, that the virus is a real virus. You know, it's not some kind of, you know, thing to get Donald Trump out of office. It's just, you know, it hit when it hit. It's spreading, you know, it's still going to spread. It's still out there. You know, we got to be safe. The best things we can do right now is try to social distance, wear a mask, wash our hands, don't touch our faces, you know, be respectful to each other. You know, the best thing to do is to try to come together, you know, no matter how, you know, much we, you know, we get angry at each other about different things, you got to try to come together for this. And, you know, please be very careful what you read on Facebook. I haven't really seen any good conspiracy theories. You know, there's all these different conspiracy theories about, you know, this and that, and, you know, and this was some kind of government plot, and, you know, there's no conspiracy. The truth of the matter is this is a nasty virus that's making its way around the world. You know, it's going to make people sick. You know, the honesty of it is, you know, about 80% of people will get it and be okay, but 20% of people are going to get sick, and, you know, about right now, if you look at the numbers, 6% of people that are getting it are dying. So, you know, it's a real thing. It's not a political thing. There's no conspiracy theories out there. Doctors aren't trying to charge more money and the hospitals aren't trying to make money off these things, and we're all just trying to help. You know, we're trying to help, and then I don't know where all these things are spinning up, but, you know, we're just trying to help. We're here to help people, and none of my doctor friends have been told to do anything strange or abnormal about how we bill or how we do treatments. And, you know, hydroxychloroquine is not safe to take. What else? I think the biggest thing is the thing I see on Facebook is there's all these conspiracy theories and just wrong information. And please, you know, make sure you fact check them. Ask somebody who knows. Don't just believe these things, because I get all these videos sent to me. You'd be shocked. I'm like, this is crazy. This is all wrong. But people send it to me like, hey, look at this. This is the truth. The other thing is they're finding people who are doctors or supposedly doctors who are saying stuff that isn't true too. So it gives a credibility. And people are like, well, they're a doctor. They're saying it. I'm like, nah, but they're not. They must be getting paid to say that, because that's not true. You know? So anyways, I think that's all I wanted to say.
Well, is there any way anybody get contact with you if they got any questions or anything else about, well, whether the paranormal or the virus?
Yeah, so, you know, you can reach me on my or Don Molnar Haunted MD Facebook page. And then I do have a YouTube page, but I haven't done a lot with that. I need to do some more of that. My YouTube page my YouTube is Don Molnar Haunted MD. My Facebook is Haunted MD. So you can look me on there. The Haunted MD Facebook page is an open page. You don't have to have special permission. The only thing I ask, if you go on there, you know, if you're not going to private message me, you know, if you're going to do something public on the page, just be respectful of everybody's opinions and all those kind of things. But they could private message me on there too if it's something, you know, that's more heated or whatever. So.
That sounds great. Well, Doc, I appreciate you coming on the show so much. And
And like I said, trying to clear the fog of some of this. And like I said, I appreciate everything you're doing. And keep up the good fight, my friend.
Sure thing, man. You too.
Hey, I just raise a lot of hell. That's all I do. I make a lot of
That's
people
good,
mad.
Man. We got to raise hell and keep doing that.
Okay. Well, I'm good at it. So, well, until they put me in the ground, that's what I'll be doing, I guess.
All right, man.
Hey, will you go back in the house? Tell your girlfriend we calm down now. Have a good night.
All right, man. You have a good night.
You have a good night. Great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, I want to thank Doc for coming on the show. He is a great man, great friend, and I love the work he's doing, saving people's lives, and also with his Haunted MD, check him out. He's got some really interesting stuff. He's got a lot of different type of equipment that he uses. It's really fascinating. But like I said, all you doctors and nurses and all you in the medical field, you keep doing what you're doing. There's a lot of people out there that believe in you and trust in you and need you. I know there's a lot of people screaming in your face. And I wish I could take it all away. But you all keep staying the good fight. Because without you all, we're all screwed. But enough of that. Next Thursday night, June 4th, our special guest will be documentary filmmaker and multimedia artist, paranormal and cryptic researcher, Alexander Petikoff. So everyone, have a good night. Have a great weekend. And please be safe out there. Please wear your damn mask, people. Please, for my sake, I'm diabetic. If I catch it, you're going to kill me. And you're going to kill people like me. Is that what you want to do? Think about that. Let me see. Where's that button? There we go. That's it for us tonight. I want to thank everyone that took the time to listen in. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Vibe Radio Network and to Ryan for putting up with us. Also to all the first responders and our men and women in the armed services. Thank you for your service and the sacrifices that you and your families make every day to keep our great nation safe. Tune in next week to another exciting show starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everyone can go to our Facebook page Within the Chaos, and don't forget to like our page to see upcoming guests along with past shows, postings. Or you can also go to my website at www.blackdiamondps.org or blogtalkradio.com/Vibe Radio Network. Also, we have a YouTube channel, so go to YouTube, look up Within the Chaos for past shows. Thanks again. Until next week, everyone have a safe weekend and have a good night. And love you all. Be careful out there.
I'm sorry. But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!